And the elder said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. As Mr. Nickelbein shared, we thank you that there were so many people that have gone before us who have let your light shine in their lives because they know the truth, that you have lavished your love upon them, and they are children of God, just as we, whom you lavish your love upon, are called children of God. And Lord, today we thank you that we can get this glimpse into the feast of victory that you're preparing for your people, into what it means to be part of the communion of saints, and what it means that you will wipe every tear from our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your promises are true, that you have done everything so that we may celebrate them. And Lord, we ask today that you would help us to focus on you, who we are in you, and the reward you promise to all whom you have sealed, that you whom, with whom you have washed their robes and placed on them white robes washed with your blood. Lord, may we truly celebrate that we are children of God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. During hard times, during times of trial and tribulation, during times when you feel like you're down in the pit, where there's no hope, where there's very little light, where your emotions are saying you're all alone, it's hard to fix your eyes on Jesus and the promises that we hear here today. And yet that is why it is so important to celebrate All Saints Day. And again, I made that kind of a comment at the beginning that some people say this isn't Lutheran because they're really fixated on the whole idea of saints, you know. And they think, well, if you talk about saints, you're worshiping saints, and we're not here to worship saints. They're too busy worshiping God to worry about us. They're there, if you look at all the pictures you get in Scripture, the saints are there focused on Jesus. They're focused on the Lamb. As a matter of fact, today it says they're all on their faces worshiping the Lamb. They're in worship. And so I understand the fear of this from some people who have said, well, you know, it can be taken to the extreme. But I think it's really important on this day to celebrate the truth of who we are, what God has done for us, what his promises are, and to make sure that even during the worst times of our lives that we know the truth of our reward and we can fix our eyes on Jesus, we can know the promises that he makes, and we can know that he's paid the price and that he's already made the promise come true. And so today is a very important day. As a matter of fact, you know, I hesitate to do the bell thing because somebody says, well, that's kind of lame, you know. And the reason I like it is because one time when we were doing that when I was a kid, one of the pastors said this, and I thought it was so cool. He said, we're going to do this, and I didn't want you to think about this as the dinner bell. That's especially appropriate on the day when we just changed and lost an hour. or, you know, gained an hour, but it's also an hour, like it's already lunchtime, you know, and it's not really. So for those of you whose stomachs start to growl, I want you to think about that, you know. But he said that because it comes right before communion. He said, when we come up for the Lord's Supper, what we are doing is we're celebrating a feast of victory that spans all time. We are celebrating with not just those who are present with us, we're celebrating with the church universal, the church of believers, all believers. And not only those who believe and are present in the church militant right now, but those who have gone before us, we're celebrating with them because they're fixated on Jesus. They're already there. They're already worshiping, and we're part of that worship. And this day of all days should be a time when we think about what we're experiencing. And it's my prayer that today that you leave here knowing that even though you may go through those times, and that's going to be, you know, we're kind of told that over and over again, that when we're part of the church militant, there are going to be times when we're sick. There are going to be times when we're lonely. There are going to be times when we're hungry. There will be times when we're scorched. There are going to be times where we really don't feel like God is there. There are going to be times when we are in the church militant where we are going to feel this. It doesn't mean it's true. It means that we feel it. That's why our emotions shouldn't be the center of what defines our faith, because there are going to be times when we get down, you know. I went through this scary experience over this last year, and I'll tell you, there were times when I was feeling really down. And so I'm thankful that my faith is not built on my emotions, because that would have been bad. But I want you to think about this. Can you say these words for me? Church militant. Say them. And there's other words. Church triumphant.
Church triumphant.
Now, for those of you who have voices left who weren't at the football game yesterday, because some of you were there and I don't think you have voices left, right? At least it sounded like that. Roger, you have a voice left? No. Kind of, sort of. Well, but those of you who can, I want us to really think and ponder and confess with our mouths the truth of what we're doing here today. And I want us to think, and I would like you to respond as I say these things, because I think it's important for us to let the world know that we are not going to be deceived. That we are not just going to let the things in our life tear us down. We're not going to let those things that we don't understand, that frustrate us, that cause us to feel like we're in that pit, to keep us from celebrating the truth of who we are. Because that 1 John chapter 3 passage is awesome, isn't it? I want you to listen to it again. It is so important. Listen to it. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. For that is who we are. Not maybe. Not possibly. But when you read Revelation 7, you see the angels of destruction being told, wait until we've put the seal on all God's chosen people. Isn't that awesome? Because I don't care whether you come to the Lord and you're baptized in a small amount of water, you're sprinkled, you're dunked, you're immersed, you're hosed down, I don't care. The amount of water doesn't matter to me at all. What matters to me is that the Lord's doing it. What matters to me is the Lord is sealing you with the mark. You read Revelation 14, it says, those who are sealed with the mark upon their forehead with the name of Christ Jesus upon them. If you look at this passage, it says that the angels of destruction are held back. They're told not to interfere with the land nor the sea until all of the people of God are sealed. Isn't that awesome? That happens in our baptism. That happens when we come to the Lord. It happens when we're in a relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, His Son. When the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that guarantee of our eternal life, that is when we know that we are those sealed children of God. It says sons of Israel, and then it has listed 12 tribes, right? And how many people are in those 12 tribes? You really think that God only is going to take 144,000 to heaven? You really believe that? I hope not. Because that's depressing. But if you read on, it says that there were more people than he could count. A multitude of people from every tribe, every nation, every language, every people group. A multitude more than he could count. And we know that the 12,000 from the 12 tribes is significant because it's representative of the church, which is 12 disciples, and, or 12 apostles, and the 12 tribes, right? 12 times 12 times the total number of completeness, which is 1,000. Hebrew people, if you say 1,000, it means it's complete. You have 12 times 12, Old Testament, New Testament, times 1,000 means all those believers, all those who trusted in God, all those who believed that God was capable of doing what he promised, all those who trust that they have a place that has been prepared for them. 144,000. A multitude greater than he could count. Well, he just counted them, if you believe it literally. But it's a multitude. And it's from everywhere. And what is that multitude doing? They're proclaiming because they are children of God, because they know that the love that God has lavished on them, because they know who they are, they know that Christ has come, they know he's coming again, and they're there, and they're celebrating, and they're worshiping God, and this is what they say, and it's such a powerful experience of worship. That's why every Sunday, every Saturday night, and I had an extra hour last night to pray, it's my prayer that you get a glimpse of what's happening here when we worship together. That's my prayer. I pray that Johannes picks good music. I pray that the worship band is not just performing, but worshiping, which I think they are. At least that's the way I experience it. And that we are together as a family, and that we are excited to be here because we get a glimpse of what's happening when these people gather together. Because this is what it says. And I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Now, we think of palm branches, what do we think of? We think of Palm Sunday, right? But if you understand this is not only talking about Palm Sunday, which is a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but it's also in Greek culture a sign of victory. A palm was, you know, you've done it, man. You've accomplished, you're victorious, you're triumphant. And they're holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried in a loud voice, and this just should send goosebumps up our spine when we think about the fact that we're going to be there. That we're going to be there. And we're going to be with the multitude that he couldn't even count. The multitude of those with white robes on, washed in the blood of the Lamb, purified not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done, and because we trusted in it, because we confessed our sins, and he has forgiven us all of our sins and clothed us with righteousness. And this is what we're going to sing. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, all the elders and the four living creatures, they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. I want you to think about that. Who fell on their faces? The angels fell on their faces. The elders fell on their faces. The multitude fell on their faces. All the saints fell on their face before God. I talked about that a few weeks ago. That's the way of worship. Down on the floor, in the presence of Almighty God, a total sign of surrender, a total sign of submission, a total sign that this is God who is worthy of worship and praise. And this is what they say. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, when you feel down and you feel defeated, you are experiencing the truth that as we live in this world, there are times when the reality of who we are as simple human beings comes to us because we're still part of the church militant. When we have tears and grieving and we feel like we've lost something that's so important to us, lost someone that's so important to us, we remember we're still part of the church militant. When we go through times where we're wondering, where is the next paycheck going to come from? Where are we going to get the money we need? Where is are we going to live? How are we going to be provided for? And we struggle and we wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. We remember that we're still part of the church militant. But then when we're looking at things and we get back into the Word and into prayer, into a time with our God, He takes us and He turns us to Him and He says, but remember that no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter what the world says about us, no matter what we feel, we're also part of the church triumphant. We have the victory because we are saints of God made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are part of the church. We have the victory. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. And He tells us that He is at the center of the throne and that we will be in His presence forever because we are part of the church. So when Satan wants us to think we're only part of the church, we remember we're part of the church. When we only think we're sinners, we think we're just part of the church. We recognize that we're part of the church because we're forgiven. And brothers and sisters, look at the language here and think about this. The elder asks John, who are they? John turns to him and says, well, you know. And he says, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And he tells them these beautiful words. Just think about this. From most of these people coming from areas where, there's drought and there's lack of food and there's persecution and there's heat, scorching sun. And think about what he says here, because he says this, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, we're not just part of the church militant. We're not just part of this world. We're not just here because, well, this is just another club that we go to during the week. We're here because we know that this is our future. We know that this is the promise. We know that the people who have departed in the faith are already there. Because they are part of the church triumphant. Because they have already won the victory, right? Just think about that language. He puts his tent over them. Never again will they have to deal with the sun, the scorching heat. Never again will they have to be hungry. Never again will they be thirsty. And most importantly, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's the promise we have. And so that is why we rejoice. That is why at the end of the Beatitudes there, you heard Jesus say, rejoice and be glad, therefore, because your reward is in heaven. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward. And what gives us joy, not because we can generate it, not because we can just keep shouting it, but what gives us joy is the truth that we can look to who we are and know that we're not just sinners, that we're not just living out each and every day in the church, but because of Christ and what He has done, because of His bloodshed on Calvary, because of His resurrection from the tomb, because of His ascension to the right hand of God, and because of His gift of the Holy Spirit, we are part of the church. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to let the world know that the Lord Jesus is going to come again, and He is going to take people to be to Himself, And he has already taken those who have departed. And brothers and sisters, it's time for us to let people know that he desires everyone to be part, to be under that tent. That he desires every single solitary person. That's why he hasn't brought destruction yet. That's why he hasn't brought judgment yet. Because it is his desire. Peter tells us that in his letters, right? He says, God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to gain everlasting life. It's his desire, and we are the messengers of this. Let people know you're not just a sinner, but when you believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him for your salvation, you are also a saint. You're not just part of the church militant, but when you are part of the family of God and you are that child of God, you are part of the church triumphant. Brothers and sisters, may we hold dearly to this truth that we are children of God and that we have this wonderful hope so that we can think of ourselves there before the throne, worshiping God who sits on the throne and saying, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we confess our faith with the church throughout the centuries, where we hear that we are part of the communion of saints.